To be in the house of the Lord today, it's good to be with you. I'm so glad to be with you. And my little ones and my wife are the Having Vacation Bible School special at Faith Fellowship Church. So my wife and them are there, but my little ones wanted to be here, but my older ones have come. Drew, Jedediah, and Anna. Anna's kind of confusing one. She's my daughter, but she's also my. Yeah, it's really crazy. So she was my daughter first, that's what I'll say. And so they're here and they've come and blessed me this Father's Day and honored me this Father's Day, and I really appreciate them coming. We are in part number 13. Can you believe that? Part number 13 out of the book of Genesis, dealing with God speaking to his people, speaking to us. And I'm going to review them because you know what I find as I review them? It kind of encourages me. And I think, oh yeah, and that one too, and that one too. So part one was Cain and Abel's sacrifice and giving God the first fruits and not your leftovers. Part two was the altar of thanksgiving and a promise with Noah, where God promises he'll never destroy the earth again by flood. And then part three was the altar of Abraham's call, where God calls him, but also his return. He left for Egypt, and then he came back and got things right with the Lord again. And that was part three. Part four was the altar of the tithe, of Abraham giving a tithe to Melchizedek, and giving God the first 10% and not the last 10%. Once you realize what a tithe is, when you give God the first, you don't have to worry about the last 10% of your budget because the Lord is taking care of you. Altar of covenant, when Abraham makes a commitment saying, Lord, may I be dead if I don't keep my word. Pretty big commitment. Part six was the altar of circumcision, which says, hey, there's no turning back. There's no way of coming back. It's one way. Then the altar of difficulties and mercy. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord?
No.
Now, that's a good message, isn't it? That there's nothing too difficult for the Lord. Part eight was the altar of healing, which was kind of interesting. God healed Abraham's enemies. We often think about healing for ourselves, but offering of healing to the enemies and praying for the enemies. Then the altar of seeing and hearing, which was phenomenal. That is Hagar, where you think nobody sees, nobody cares. But the Lord does. The Lord sees and the Lord cares. Then ten is the altar of the eternal God, that God is our provider, and that is Abraham offering up Isaac to the Lord, and the Lord says, don't lay a hand on him. And altar 11 is the altar of answered prayer. That's when Isaac, his dad, prayed for some years to have a kid. The first time Isaac prays after 20 years, it says Isaac prayed and Rebecca has a child. That was 12. Altar 11 is the altar of answered prayer, and that's with the servant going all the way to Naaman's house, and Rebecca comes out, and the servant prays, hey, Lord, help me out of this. And the Lord answers by Rebecca coming back and becoming Isaac's wife. So now we get to this altar. The altar that we're doing today, I believe it is the most common altar ever. And if you will, if you look in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 28. Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 28. And you say, hey, Pastor, you preached on that last time I was here. Exactly. I did preach from that scripture, but not this message. You see, this altar that I'm preaching about today is unsaved people go to this altar. Christians go to this altar. And I've even met sanctified Christians who go to this altar. This altar is called the altar of questioning. This is, why is this happening to me? Why God? Why God? We come into this altar in all states and all different reasons. We come and say, Lord, why do I have cancer? Why do I have this situation? Why did I get let go? Why did I get fired? Why is my relationships breaking down? Why? You fill in the blank. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all been to this altar, and we come to this altar with all different types of emotions and all different types of feelings. Sometimes we come to this altar really angry at God, saying, we've done this for you, Lord. We've done this for you, Lord. Why? This altar is, I believe, the most common. We've all been there, right? We've all come to this place where we ask, Lord, why is this happening to me? And I want us to realize some things. How we come to this altar makes a big difference how God responds. And I was talking to Pastor Dick last night, and I said, Pastor, how many times does God answer the why question? And he looks at me and he says, not very often. I said, Pastor Dick, is there any other place in the scripture where they ask this question and they get the answer? And he looks at me and goes, but in this place, in this scripture, Rebecca asked the why question. Why is this happening to me? And God answers her, but he doesn't answer her in the way that she thinks. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. Let's stand for reading of God's Word. Genesis chapter 25, starting at verse 19, it says, this is the account of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from the Padam Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. And the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two people from within you will be separated, and the people will be stronger, one people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger. When the time came for her to give birth, they were twin boys to her womb. And first to come out was red. His whole body was like a hairy garment, so they named him Esau. That after this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skilled hunter, a man of the open country. And while Jacob was a quiet man staying among the tents, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Come, Holy Spirit, and minister. Speak to us, we pray. Lord, show us and lead us. Holy Spirit, come and minister to each one here. I pray especially for the one that's in that place, Lord, asking you, why is this happening to me? And I pray also, Lord, that you would guide us and lead us. And Lord, help us to be better fathers and better mothers and better Christians. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. The simple answer to the question, why is this happening to me, was your husband prayed, you prayed, and God answered your prayer, right? What was happening inside Rebecca was, morning sickness, right? There was tumbling and moving around inside of her womb, and the kids were already drawing lines saying, you stay on your side, this is my side. They were already fighting inside the mother's womb, and Rebecca, never being a mother before, she's been married 20 years. The children were jostling around and fighting, and she goes to the Lord, and she says, why is this happening to me? What is happening? Well, I just want you to know that I have 7 kids, and guess what? They jostle and fight a lot. There are sometimes in a parent's life you feel like you should buy a referee shirt and a whistle and just keep blowing it. That is kind of, unfortunately, kind of normal. But I want you to know something that I think is very important. Rebecca is having issues with the babies. She can't spank them. Say, stop that, knock it off. And she goes and inquires of the Lord. And I want you to know that's a good thing. When we come and we inquire of the Lord and say, Lord, why is this happening? It's happening because Isaac prayed and you prayed and God actually answered your prayer. But I want to move back to us. Oftentimes when we are praying, why this is happening to us, God is answering a prayer that you prayed probably 4 years ago, maybe last week, 10 weeks ago, and you prayed that you'd be more loving, and guess what? He put people difficult to love in your life so that you will learn to love them. Right? And oftentimes, when you come to the Lord asking, why, the Lord says, I'm answering your prayer. Think about that. When you go and you're saying, Lord, why? And the Lord says, why are you asking me why? I'm just answering what you prayed for last week, 10 weeks ago. And one of the saddest ones that I think when we ask why, especially as Christian parents, we ask the Lord whatever it takes to get our children saved. And then our children go through some really tough stuff. And we're asking, why is it happening to me? And the Lord is saying, it's an answer to your prayer. It's an answer to your prayer. You see, Rebecca's life got really complicated. We're in Genesis chapter 20. You've been listening the whole way, so you know exactly where we are. Wonderful. They were already fighting. God is answering the prayer. And he says, there's 2 nations in your room. And they'll be separated. One will be stronger than the other. And the younger will serve the other. Christians, I wonder if God would respond differently to our question if we asked a different question. Rebecca is asking, why is this happening to me? I wonder what would have happened if Rebecca would have asked, how can I glorify God in this situation? Do you see the difference? I stole this from Rob Reamer, if you've heard that question before. Rob Reamer says, God very rarely answers the question, why? But he almost always answers the question, how can I be glorified in this? How can God be glorified in this? You see, one of the things that I find fascinating about this story It's Isaac, the dad, knows that God is real above all things. Think about this. Isaac, when he is a young kid, teenager, how old he was, some guess 16, 17, wherever, his dad took him up on a mountain, tied him up, put him on the altar, and was going to slay him as an offering to God. And Isaac heard, as well as Abraham, Abraham, don't lay a hand on that kid. For now I know that you fear me. He heard that. He knows that God is real. He saw what his dad taught him about faith. Rebecca is a phenomenal young woman. She has a servant's heart. Do you remember the story where the Abraham's servant, he has his camels, he has him, and he just asks Rebecca for a drink of water, and she not only gives him water, but fills up tons and tons of gallons of water for his camels to partake. She has a servant's heart. Here's these two parents. And I want you to notice with the question, why is this happening to
me?
Me.
It's all about me. And unfortunately, Isaac is all about him. This is really not the start. They are actually passing down a curse from Abraham to Rebecca and Isaac, and then to Jacob and his sons, and it just keeps going. You say, Pastor, you said the word curse. Yes. The curse is favoritism. The curse of favoritism will break up any home, even one with godly parents. You say, Pastor, where are you getting this? You see, it's about me. It's about me. Look at what the scripture says in verse 24. And when the time came for her to give birth, the twin boys in her womb, the first one come out red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. And they came from, named him Esau. Esau means hairy, and he was called Edom, which means red. After this, the brother came out with his hand grasping at the heel, so he was named Jacob. It's about me. Jacob, it's about me. Me, I want to be first. I want to be first. Grasping on the heel, calling, and me. And the children grow up, it says. We keep reading. It says, and the boys grew up, and Esau liked the open country. He likes to go out hunting. He liked to be out fishing. He liked to be on the outside. But Jacob liked to be inside. And this is one of the saddest verses in the Bible, if you really think about it. Even though it uses the word love twice. You would think this is good, right? It says, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved his son Esau. And Rebekah loved Jacob. You see, if they were to ask the question, how can I glorify God in this? Not why is this happening to me, but how can I glorify God in this? The scripture says in Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, two are better than what?
One.
And we often use that in marriage, right? But two brothers are better than one. What would happen if Rebecca and Isaac taught their kids to grow up together, to watch each other's back together, to love one another, and stand by each other? I want you to think of something really crazy. We all know the international scene today, right? We all know that Israel is fighting with the Palestinians and all the Arabs, right? We know that, right? I want you to think for a second, what would happen if Israel and the Palestinians and the Arabs were all on one team? What would happen if they would all follow God?
it would be a different world today. But we're all concerned about me, showing favoritism. What would have happened if Isaac would have spent some time in the tent with Jacob, hanging out? I don't know what Jacob was doing, and I don't have that information. I wish I did. What would have happened if Mom would have said, "Hey, Esau, can I go out with you on this hunting trip?" And, "Mom, you have to be quiet. I don't want you to scare the boar for the game away. But you know what? Going out with Mom out in the fields, even if she did scare everything away, would have been well worth Rebecca's time." Favoritism is an evil curse. Because it feels like love and it's not love. It destroys family after family after family. It destroys every family that it enters. But it also, in extension, destroys every business that enters. Destroys every church that it enters. The scripture says in James chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "My brothers, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ," anybody know the rest of that? "Do not show favoritism." Very clearly says it out. It says, as believers, as Christians, do not show favoritism. Very clearly. You see, favoritism just kind of grows. You see, Isaac's father was who? Abraham, right? Did Abraham show favoritism? How many sons did Abraham have?
Two.
Most will answer two, but the answer is eight. He had the son of promise, which is Isaac. He had Ishmael, which he tried to make things work out. But after Sarah died, he married again to Keturah and had six kids. And he, while he was living, provided for those six kids, and he sent them away from Isaac and sent them out. Favoritism. It destroys families. It destroys them from... And then Esau and Jacob. Dad likes Esau better. Rebecca likes Jacob better. And it gets really bad because these are going to be other altars coming up. But I want you to know that favoritism, because of her favoritism, Esau and Jacob did not like each other. And at a point of time, Rebecca arranges it so that Jacob will get everything. And guess what happens? After that moment, she will never see Jacob again. She will die before she sees him again. Her favorite son has to flee for his life and runs her way. It destroys families. And it's right here at the beginning in the curse of favoritism. This, as Father's Day, I encourage fathers and mothers, do not show favoritism in your house. And I tell you, it's really hard. It's hard. I now have seven kids. And I'll tell you that Aaliyah probably feels that I show favoritism towards her, towards my blood kids. And my blood kids are here. They probably think I show favoritism towards Aaliyah. It's a hard thing to do. But God commands us not to show favoritism. It's very clear. In case you think it's not as clear, you know, I already quoted James chapter 2. Sorry, I said chapter 4. Chapter 2, verse 1. But James goes on to say in James chapter 2, it says this. I want you to hear this. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. Have you ever heard it that clearly? You probably read it before, right? And you say, he's actually talking about in the church. When we show favoritism in the church, it is you're sinning. And you are convicted of lawlessness. But it says, and then it continues, it says, whoever keeps the whole law, yet stumbles just in one point, is guilty of breaking all of it. So favoritism is a curse. It will destroy your home. It will destroy your church. It will destroy your business. If you have a business, you start showing favoritism in a business, guess what? There's a lot of bitterness that grows up out of that. And you say, well, that person at least does his job. Well, you start showing favoritism, you'll find that less people will do their job because there is that structure. Every one of us has seen this before, right? We've experienced the other side. When you see a boss showing favoritism to a particular employee, guess what? That particular employee will have problems with all the other employees. By showing favoritism, you start to destroy that person's relationship with everybody else. Just like in the family. If I start showing favoritism towards one of my kids, it will make all the other kids, guess what? Not like them. It happens over and over again. So this Father's Day, I'm begging fathers and I'm begging mothers, don't show favoritism. And you say, well, you know, I don't have enough time. I don't have this. I don't. Well, guess what? Grow up. I know. It will be really hard for me with Lillian. I already talked about this once. If she goes and be a cheerleader, it's going to be really hard, but I'm going to have to enjoy cheerleading. It's going to be tough. Because it's not about me. It's about developing the gifts that God has put in that heart of that child. It's about developing what God has done. I have a daughter at the Navy Academy today, and it's like, I would like her in the Air Force. I would like her out of the military. I don't want her to die. But it's what God has put in her. So yes, I get up in the morning, early in the morning, get her places if she doesn't have a ride and those types of things. We do that because we are fanning into the flame the gifts that God has given her. Does that make sense? As we close today, there's two messages. Have you caught it? One is if you're asking the why question. And oftentimes when we're asking why questions, we're in a tough place. And I'm hurting for you. When we get into that why place, there are some really, really, really hard situations. And as your pastor, as a minister of the gospel, I'm hurting for you, and I would love to pray with you. Enter that space that's uncomfortable. But I'm begging you to not ask the why question. I'm begging you to ask the how question. How, God, can I show you glory in this situation? Because in that, you will receive God's peace, God's love, God's grace in a powerful way. But I want you to know, he doesn't mind you asking the why question. God the Father does not get upset with that question. He's not frustrated that you're asking that question. He might be saying, it's an answer to your prayer. It's an answer to your prayer. I've already answered this question. You don't like the answer, but it's always a hard place. And I just want you to know, I'd love to pray with you. And say, Lord, come explain how and why. Because God did answer Rebecca's question. He said there's two nations fighting in the womb. And the other one is repentance. If you've shown favoritism, if the Lord has been spoken to you and you... And it's really easy to see favoritism in other people. Right? Why don't you ask the tough question and ask the Lord to show if there's any favoritism in you? That's a tough one. And then come to a place of repentance and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I just was living my life. I was just doing what felt natural. I like certain things, and these other people like certain things, and we just like hanging out together. The Lord says, no, I love all people. And I need you, as the Church of Jesus Christ, to reach all people. And if we're showing favoritism, guess what? We're leaving out a whole bunch of people who God loves. So the other one is the altar of repentance. And probably the most important part, I'm going to springboard, it's about the war within. Sometimes we feel like in our own hearts there is a war between light and darkness. It's kind of interesting preaching it with no light. Sometimes in our own hearts there's a war about following God and not following God. And that battle is real even today. And I ask that you would surrender to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. He will forgive you, He will set you free, and He'll set you back. And that battle can be done and over with. You can surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you. And that battle inside between light and darkness in your own heart can be ended today as well. Those who are watching online, I give you thanks for watching. I pray that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. And the worship team would come at this time. We're going to see the heart of worship. And the altar is open today if you would like to come and pray. I'd love to pray with you. Others in this church would love to pray with you. But the call is, if you're in that difficult place of asking the Lord why me, I'd love to come alongside you and pray. I don't have the answers. The Holy Spirit does. But I'd love to pray with you. And I know it's a tough place. It's a hard place. And the other is repentance. Saying, Lord, forgive me. I've been showing favoritism. Would you change my heart so that I can reach all my kids, all the people in the church, all the community for the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's stand as we sing.
You know, the words of this song say, when all is stripped away, simply come. If God's speaking to you this morning, simply come.
You say faith, all is stripped away, and I simply come. I'm just to bring something that's a word that'll bless your bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. To the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. It's all about you, Jesus. Endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. The one we can pour, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'll bring you more than
an answer, but we don't want to hear it. And And Lord, the second part of showing favoritism one to another. And Lord, it's not just among families, but it's among the church. It's among races. It's among people in general, Lord. And we pray this morning that you will help us to focus upon you and not show favoritism to anyone, but you, Lord. We thank you for the message. We thank you for the words that were spoken. Lord, we thank you for the music. And Lord, that we can just worship you. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll go with us as we go out into the world this week. May we go out with love. And may we go out with joy. We ask it in the precious name of Christ. Amen.
Amen.